Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Currently, we are in the midst of 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. It started on November 25th. The International Day of the Elimination of Violence Against Women. It will end next Tuesday, December 10th. Cornerstone Family Violence Prevention Center Executive Director Nancy Johnson is on the show today to discuss what is being done in Northumberland to address this issue. She held a series of flag-raising events with local municipal leaders and others. In the same week as this interview, Coburg police officers laid charges in two cases of domestic violence. Listen carefully to hear what is being done locally to encourage public discussion about violence against women in the community. I'm so pleased to have with me today Nancy Johnson, CEO of Cornerstone Family Violence Prevention Center. Welcome back to Consider This.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Earlier this week marked the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. It also started the 16 Days of Action Against Domestic Violence. Can you tell us what is happening locally over these 16 days?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Rob. Not a whole lot is happening over the 16 days. On November 25th, a number of my colleagues from across the province went to Queen's Park to mark the day on November 25th. So there were quite a few of us, and that's from all across the province. So executive directors at similar violence against women agencies. We have a breakfast reception at Queen's Park. We hear from the ministers and some other MPPs. And then we sit through question period, which is always an interesting endeavor. And then we, those of us who can arrange to meet with our MPPs, we do. So I did have a nice lunch and a nice chat with our MPP, David Pacini. And, you know, again, just raising the ongoing issues that we have in our sector, including, as you know, Rob, I've talked lots about, you know, lack of funding, issues of femicide, the continuing increase in femicide, making sure that, you know, our funding is equitable and makes sense across the province, and highlighting issues of, you know, rural and further north organizations is really important. So yeah, that was a productive day. And then we have some networking meetings within our sector, and it's always a positive day. The Friday before, I went and did some flag raising across our town and our municipalities. So we send out flags. The flag raising started probably about 4 years ago, Rob. So it used to particularly be a purple scarf campaign to raise awareness. And then OAIth, who is our association, added the flag raising as just another way of raising awareness across municipalities. So we did a flag raising at the town of Coburg, at Coburg Police Services, and then at the county, and a number of other lower tier municipalities also did the flag raising, but we didn't have to go to raise a flag with them. So again, it's just it's really an awareness campaign month is what we do across the province, is to raise the issue of gender-based violence and woman abuse awareness month, and really, you know, try to take action and let survivors know that they're not alone.
Flag raising is an important symbolic thing to do, and it creates awareness. But what else is being done in these 16 days to help end domestic violence locally within the broader community? I mean, I don't want to take away from the significance of that and going to Queen's Park and talking to the MPP. Of course, those things are important. But in the broader context of the community, Where in between are we seeing efforts made to not just raise awareness, but to take action so that the community can feel that domestic violence is decreasing rather than increasing?
I wish I could say that it is decreasing, but it's not, Rob. In OAuth releases a femicide report on a monthly basis. In the last 52 weeks, as of November 25th, which marks the day, there were 62 femicides across Ontario. So that is quite concerning. I think how we show what we're doing is we do the work every day here at Cornerstone. So we respond to people who are victimized by domestic violence. We do a lot of prevention work across our schools. One really key thing. So, it's not just 16 days for us, it's 365 days a year, 365 days that we are doing the work within our community and working with community partners, right? We work a lot with Coburg Police Services and Port Hope Police as well. We do with Coburg Police Services that we have a contract with them that we go in and review all of their domestic violence cases on a weekly basis and make recommendations to ensure that police are responding in a victim-centered way. And again, work at all levels to ensure that we are responding quickly to the victim. So we will do victim follow-up and making sure that systems continue to work a little bit better.
I don't want to take away anything from the good work that you do in the community. And certainly, I understand that all those good things that you do are hugely important within the community. But for example, just yesterday, a 30-year-old Coburg woman is now facing charges where there was domestic assault. Then, on top of that, earlier in the week, a 55-year-old man was charged with uttering threats of bodily harm against a partner. He failed to meet the requirements of a release order. So that's just this week. And yet, I know you're busy, but if people in the broader community, we don't see that work. I mean, we see fundraising when you guys raise money, walk a mile in the shoes, right? We see you when doing things, selling the scarves, doing all those great things to raise money. But where is the piece that has us talking about this in between these moments where we're talking about this is real, this is going on a regular basis within our community, and so that people have a better sense of just how serious this is?
I think we do a pretty good job of trying to keep this issue within our community that we are having these conversations, whether it's obvious to people or not, that's sort of a different question. I can tell you the tireless efforts that I make and our team makes to try to make changes systemically through education. Through first responders training, because it's all of those people that are going to make a difference. We can't do this alone, and we've long abandoned that idea. We can't be the only voice. And oftentimes, the interventions that happen, they're not going to get front page news, right? I can assure you that, again, we are following up with victims in a very timely way of people who have experienced gender-based violence. We've just wrapped up doing training with our paramedics. So we have now trained every paramedic across Northumberland County to be part of this intervention. And that came out of the Ryan inquest that you and I have talked about, Robert, that I attended in September of 2023. So we are trying to make some changes locally or influence some of those provincial recommendations locally. And some of that has been about training first responders, including police services and paramedics, around responding to gender-based violence. Because paramedics have a very interesting first response, and oftentimes they don't know what to look for, they don't know how to ask, and they don't know where to refer. So we did extensive training starting, oh, I think it's a big group of paramedics in Northumberland County. So we did a traveling road show between our managers and a couple of our frontline staff. And the response has been really, really great. So we now have in with paramedics, there's a QR code that they can dispatch right here to our frontline staff, and we can respond to victims. So people that they might be responding to as a paramedic, they identify that there are issues of gender-based violence or they have any safety and concerns, whether it's for themselves or their neighbors or their friends or their family. And we can respond. So that's been a really positive addition to what we've been doing, Rob, and something that I'm really proud of. So, you know, Susan Brown was incredibly receptive after the inquest. She was a witness at the Ryan inquest. And when I approached her to say, hey, what do you think about doing some training? She jumped right on board. She was incredibly receptive. As well as her manager. So that's been a really positive collaboration and one that I think we will just continue to build on, Rob. So, you know, as you say, what's happening? I think it's sometimes the stuff that's happening that isn't going to get, you know, front page news. And we're also dealing with, you know, with many victims who want to be very much anonymous for obvious reasons. And there are safety concerns and there's confidentiality. So, you know, we have to always be mindful of that as well, and treat their privacy, you know, is very important to us and their confidentiality. Because oftentimes women come to us and stay in this shelter and they don't want anyone to know that they're here. And they certainly don't want their partner to know that they're here. That's why we have security and the safety measures that we take.
You've already mentioned the increasing numbers of cases of domestic violence and homicide against domestic partners. Can you give us some numbers?
Yeah, we can look at our numbers. So last fiscal year, we served almost 2,000 women, children, and youth. Now that number does include, Rob, the kids in our school-based prevention program. So not all 2,000 of those folk are victims of domestic violence. And we also know that issues of domestic violence go vastly underreported. We know that most women don't involve police. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. Oftentimes women aren't identified because organizations that might be seeing these women don't necessarily ask and they don't know what to look for. And it's rare that a woman comes into other services and might not necessarily from the beginning identify that they're experiencing issues of gender-based violence. So we know, for example, with healthcare, many women have many other symptoms that might be related to trauma and stress, but it's not necessarily connected to gender-based violence. So those are some of our statistics, certainly within the shelter. As you know, Rob, our shelter is usually always full, but we have a lot of other women that we see in our community counseling program, probably well over 300. And that's across the county. So we will see women in Brighton or Colborne or wherever they happen to be. We are working at the health hub in Colborne, so we have somebody going there for half a day on Friday. So it's important for women to know, and I always want to stress this, we're based in Coburg, but we serve all of Northumberland County.
We just watched an election in the United States where misogyny was on full display. There was a lot of talk about gender divide and hypermasculinity that was used to secure a path to victory for politicians. When you reflect on this, what are the concerns and challenges it raises in your mind?
I wish I was surprised by the outcome, but I wasn't. I think with Kamala being a woman of color, there are continuing issues of misogyny and discrimination. I really don't, honestly, Rob, I sometimes don't even know. how to approach what has occurred. But it certainly is concerning, of the level of hatred and divide and
Nancy, let me ask you
mistrust.
this. Do you worry when this happens on such a large scale and is so successful that it empowers people locally in terms of young men and what they can do and say in our own community?
Absolutely. 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 'Cause I mean, again, I don't have younger people in my life anymore. My children are in their 20s. But I do hear from other people in terms of what, who are the role models for our young men and boys right now? And who do they look up to? And what are they seeing in social media and online? We know that there are some frightening statistics about the amount of pornography that young men and boys are watching, and that is obviously of great concern. Yeah, I think our work becomes harder. Our work becomes harder to try to turn this tide on having different conversations with our men and boys. And it will require a real joint effort of men stepping up to the plate as well to have the conversations with boys and to have difficult conversations and conversations that lots of times people don't want to have about, what does it mean to be in a healthy relationship and what does it mean to fight for women's equity and fight against racism and sexism. What do those things mean to younger men and boys? So I think it's important that we continue to have conversations around prevention and education and get to as many people as we can with some limited resources. Rob, is always the challenge. Prevention has never typically been funded in our organization or across the province. With the National Action Plan, from the federal government to the province, they did release, one of their pillars is about prevention, which is great. So we have applied for some money to increase our prevention efforts. We don't know yet if we've been successful. One of the challenges that we have with the government and this National Action Plan money is that they released some of the money across our sector, but then they also held on to $100 million. That the $100 million we had to apply for. So again, we're looking at a time-limited grant. Which, in spite of the many, many, many conversations we've had around, that's not where you're going to have the impact, right? It can't be a time-limited project, especially when we're talking about prevention. It's not, we can't be going into schools for 1 year and go, ta-da, we're going to make a difference, because we're not. It has to be ongoing annualized dollars so that we can really build up a program.
There used to be a white ribbon campaign locally where boys and men stood against violence against women. What happened to that?
I don't know if it was, I don't think it really caught on too much locally, Rob. It was based more in Toronto. You don't hear a lot about it. There are some programs. We looked into one program called Coaching Boys to Men. And it was a school-based program that an organization had received some dollars for. However, it was released in. They were looking for applications, I think, in June. And we said, we can't get permission to be in schools because there's a process that you have to go through to get permission to be in schools and run a program. So I'm not sure how much traction that had across the province because of some of the rules with school boards. But something that we're thinking of looking into is looking into the program. As we know, it takes money to run a program, and we have to hire people to do the program. So This is, I mean, it sounds like a really boring bit of the conversation, and I sometimes feel like a bit of a broken record that, with some more funding, we can do more prevention. It's certainly something that we just took on ourselves, as you said, fundraising dollars. That's how we were able to run the prevention program that we have for many, many years. We received no government funding to do this. We just knew how important it was, and we needed to make this commitment, and our board made that commitment to use fundraised dollars to run that program because it's that important.
I want to shift gears now for just a few moments. And has Cornerstone secured its emergency care establishment license?
We're still working through it.
Can you describe the status of where you're at with that process?
Yeah, so we are still working at filling out the application, working with the town, and we will be going back to a hearing with a hearing officer towards the end of December. And we are very hopeful that we will get the license and we can move on.
What kind of resources have you put into this?
There have been resources necessary, yeah.
Monetary?
Yep,
How
monetary
much?
and time.
How much?
I'm not sure if I want to talk about Rob without permission from our board. But yes, there have been monetary resources that we've had to put in, and certainly time and worry. And yeah, we're really hoping we're close to this being wrapped up. And we will continue to work with town staff and our internal operations manager and myself and get this wrapped up by the end of the year.
Obviously, there's sticking points if you're going to a hearing.
We did go to a hearing in July, and there were sticking points. And yeah, there was some information released about that hearing in July. And I think, I think we have made every effort we can to try to work within reason to ensure that we're complying with this bylaw, but also maintaining the integrity of our organization and not hurting the day-to-day operations of the organization. And certainly, any sort of longer term financial implications we were concerned about. So I'm hopeful, Rob, that we're going to get there. I think we've sort of, rode this bumpy we've been on this bumpy road for a while. But I'm feeling much more optimistic and hopeful that this will be behind us and we can continue to do the hard work and the good work that we do at Cornerstone.
Just to allay any thoughts or fears that listeners might have, is there any chance that the town could shut you down?
No, I'm not concerned about that at all. I'm not concerned about that. Because we've been involved in a hearing, we haven't had to necessarily be in compliance with the bylaw because we made, again, a decision to go to a hearing officer for a hearing officer to try to hear our concerns in an unbiased way and help the process along. So really from July until now, and people are very busy, but again, the folks that I've been working with at town staff, I think we have a pretty good working relationship, and I think we've come to an understanding and a level of trust that we're going to be able to work through the rest of this, Rob, and move on from it. But no, I'm not concerned at all that, there has been no interruption to service whatsoever. Obviously, the board was mo and I was most concerned about that. But nowhere along the way was I concerned that we would be shut down or our services impacted as we have moved through this process. But it's been difficult for sure.
Transitional housing has long been a need for women in our community who are trying to begin a new life after facing domestic violence. And I know that the last time we talked, there was some things going on within the community to find transitional housing. Can you bring us up to date on this aspect of your work?
Yeah, so we are very hopeful that we will have some more concrete news, but we have purchased some properties that we are looking to develop into some second stage housing. Again, it's very, very preliminary because there's a lot of hoops that you have to jump through, so to say. Again, working with the town and the staff there. To look at, permits and we're dealing with some heritage issues. So yeah, things, I'm very hopeful. Again, this is something, Rob, we've wanted to do for a really long time. So we've been working quite quietly behind the scenes to make sure that the site that we have makes the most sense for Cornerstone. The board got behind this, and we had some resources that we could put towards the build. We will obviously be looking for support from our local government, the provincial government, the federal government, and some donor support. But long way ahead of us. Long way ahead of us. Certainly, I'm learning more than I ever thought I needed to know about building and zoning and all sorts of issues, but I'm proud to say that, we're hopeful. Again, once we have something to report, we will be reporting that and sharing the news with the community. We just want to make sure that we're able to do what it is that we want to do. And we will be keeping people informed as things progress. But right now, very preliminary, very hopeful, and this would make a huge impact on women and children who face gender-based violence, because we know one of the biggest barrier is affordable housing. So yeah, to be able to tackle that in sort of the last few years of my career would be something that I would be super proud of, and something that I know would have a huge impact.
What should we be watching out for in the future from Cornerstone in the next weeks and months?
I hope we can be announcing some things about our future build, but again, it really depends on timing of this stuff, Rob. We will be entering into another strategic plan in the near future. We're doing, we're sort of looking at, well, I'm looking at, and I think collectively in Cornerstone, of how do we build our infrastructure as well to see us into the future, because we've been around for 30, more than 35, more than 40 years. And as I say, I'm, sort of coming to the senior end of my career here at Cornerstone. And something that I feel really strongly about is ensuring that we're poised for the future. And what does that mean? And how do we ensure that we can sustain the great work that we're doing, and grow and build, the services that we do. So we're doing some things internally as well to look at structure and process of sort of some of our backdoor office stuff, which again probably isn't very interesting to listeners, but our finance, our HR, our fundraising, and community engagement. What does all that need to look like in the next 3 years? So that's something that we will be digging into in our strategic plan in the fall. So that will keep us busy for sure. We just wrapped up our third accreditation with Focus Accreditation, so that has certainly kept us busy over the last year of being ready for that. But pleased to announce we were accredited for a third time, which is a really big deal for a small organization. There's only three violence against women agencies across the province that are accredited, because it is a rigorous process, but one again that I feel really strongly about standing behind, because it's about quality assurance, and it's about delivering excellence in service. So that has kept us quietly busy here, ensuring that we have everything in place. But yeah, we received 95% on our third accreditation, so something we're really proud of. proud of within our organization and within our sector.
Nancy Johnson, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
That was Nancy Johnson, Executive Director of Cornerstone Family Violence Prevention Center. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.